This half hour is presented by the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
And welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Davis Allen, filling in for Jenna Barr this morning. And joining us is the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And as always, Amber Southard, Public Information Officer.
Yes. Good morning, Davis. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. And you have some friends with you today.
Yes, I brought Commander Hobbs of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And then we have Eric Gilmore. He is the Escambia County Emergency Manager. And we're here to talk about a topic that no one likes to talk about, but we have to. I mean, it's just a reality for if you live in the Gulf Coast or anywhere prone to hurricanes. That's right. Hurricane season is upon us right now. And so it is good to be prepared. I mean, we learned with Sally that the more prepared you are, the better it can be for the after the hurricane, as well as during the storm. So these two are the top professionals in our county to help deal with the storm, one from the law enforcement side and the other one from how we deal with it from the emergency management operations side and how things get cleaned up and how we get back on the grid with power and what you might need to know while you're preparing.
Well, I'm really happy that you're here because actually what we're doing as a staff, as soon as this meeting's over, yeah, we're having our work emergency
good
meeting to go over how we're going to do our response because we're planning on being on during the storm, but it's
and we
it's
depend
here
on you guys for information. So that is something like that you tell people to kind of have in there. If you just want to start off, we probably should go over what people should have together in their emergency pack preparing for a storm, and something might be a handheld radio so they can listen to
I would
to
think so,
radio.
Yes, absolutely. Handheld radios are one of the biggest things they have in there because when power goes out, and then no TV, and then fortunately your phones do go dead after a while. So battery-powered radios are one of the best ways to continue to get your information. So, but as far as your kits goes, yes, now's the time to build your kit out or look at what you have. Make sure you have your essentials such as your non-perishable food items, your backup battery-powered radio, a first aid kit, your medications. Make sure you have medications ready to go for at least 30 days, and we do have emergency orders in place that you can go get your pharmaceuticals filled beforehand. And then make sure you have a plan, your evacuation plan. Don't forget your kids and pets, things for those, things for your kids to do while the power is out, to take care of your pets, and a gallon of water per person per day. Make sure you have those things. And we ask you to be prepared for 5 to 7 days. If you're prepared for 5 to 7 days, it helps you helps us get recovered a whole lot quicker because we're not having to go out there and put a lot of resources out there in the community. And the more resilient you are, the faster we come back up. So,
and a lot of times, Commander Hobbs, we always preach at the Sheriff's Office verse 72 on you. And that has a lot to do with the way we're able to respond as an agency.
Yeah, absolutely. You saw during Sally, the waters on the Barrier Islands, Perdido, those areas, Pensacola Beach, it got up pretty high. And if it was not for our high water vehicles that we had, we wouldn't be able to get to those people. And we've made investments to make sure we can get to people no matter the weather. But once the weather gets to a point that it's not safe for the men and women of the Sheriff's Office or Fire EMS to come to you, you're on your own. Mm-hmm. And as sad as that is and as hard as it is for our dispatchers to hear people calling and ask for help, if you're in the midst of a hurricane, our first responders can't get to you. So you need to make sure that you have enough in the event you become to an area of our community that you can't get to. Mm-hmm. Even some of the areas our high water vehicles can't get to, depending. I mean, waters can be up to 10 feet high. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything that'll get through 10 feet of water. So you need to be able to be self-sufficient for 72 hours, but I promise you, we showed in Sally, we showed in Ivan. Escambia County will come to you. The Sheriff's Office, Fire, EMS, we will get to you. It might take us a little time, but we're not going to leave anyone out there by themselves. As soon as the storm passes, you know, during Sally, Eric and I were there at the EOC as we weren't getting the best information from the National Weather Service in reference to the direction. And then once they
just sneak up on
us.
I think I went to sleep thinking like, oh, okay, we're going to get a little bit of it. And I woke up like, oh no, we're in it. This is happening.
We all had that kind of thought, but thank goodness, you know, 48 hours prior to that, we were having our meetings and leaning forward far enough to identify those trigger points and have those things established that we were not behind the ball in reacting to it. So We will do forward-leaning event. We will make sure we're doing everything we need to be doing prior to an event. And, you know, we can turn the resources off. It's harder to turn them on in the middle of an event than it is to turn them off. So.
And I think that was a good just thing for all of us to remember. Mother Nature's in control. And, you know, we can have everything that can predict and forecast as best as it can, but really you just Mother Nature's there. So be prepared always. The storms can take a jog to the right or left, or you know, however they're going to do real quickly and
exactly
pick up speed at any time.
And the catch a lot of people don't understand is not only do Eric and I, our agencies, have to prepare for things locally, but we also have to be prepared to go and respond. Eric and I were two of the responding groups that went to Panama City during Hurricane Michael. So we respond as a county to a lot of other areas because those areas come help us when we're in time of need. So our agencies are always preparing for hurricane season. I tell everybody, people are like, oh, you're ready for hurricane season? We prepare for that year round because sadly in our community we have flooding, we have tornadoes, we have ice storms. We have a lot of I talk about this a lot. We have a lot of experience dealing with natural disasters locally.
Unfortunately, yes.
Exactly. So Eric and I talk on a daily basis almost in our agency. Sergeant Jacob Holloway, who's our sergeant in Homeland Security, he talks to Eric on a daily basis also. I do say, I tell a lot of people, my family all the time, there is not a better place in the United States to live if you're wanting an agencies or agencies to respond to a natural disaster. We are probably the best in the business.
I have to echo that.
I had to really agree. There's a lot of communication that goes on. We are not any one silo, and everybody does work together really well. And, you know, as he talked about the deployments we do together, you know, not only are we responding and helping out our neighboring communities and neighboring other parts of the state, we're taking lessons learned and making sure that we identify things that could happen to us in that aspect and making sure we're becoming resilient and that we don't have those things happen to us. So we do lessons learned when we do those deployments as well.
And also, just as a whenever the storm did come through, the response of other agencies like Gulf Power or their partners to come through, get power back on, the way that y'all were doing constant updates on what's happened and just making
that
sure that message
thing
was out there.
Yeah, the Emergency Operations Center. I was going to get Eric to kind of explain what that is, who's housed there, and how it is. You know, we're talking about that great communication like Davis just brought up, but we're all in the same place that the communication can happen.
Yes, so the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, which is our public safety building on W Street. When we activate the EOC to a level one activation, we're asking for all our community partners to come together and put a representative in the room that can make a decision for that agency. That's you know, governmental agencies, municipalities, and private entities. We got Gulf Power in there, Sheriff's Office. They take the lead for ESFs. We have emergency support functions, 1 through 18, and Escambia County Sheriff's Office is our lead for ESF 16, our law enforcement. So we have all those entities in there, and then as we're making decisions and we're making operational directives, it's everybody's on the same page. Everybody's moving forward, and we're absolutely sharing resources, vendors, ideas, and when we request things from the state, we have state representation in the room as well as federal representation. So everybody's all in the EOC working together on the same sheet of music, which really helps out and moves the event to a much more manageable event and moves it quicker along.
Yeah, it's so crazy to kind of see how everybody is working together, but it's like a organized chaos because everybody is so trained and knows exactly what their role is. And you kind of see people like, hey, the hands are going up, they've got questions or they've got information, and they're directly talking to each other and able to radio it then out to the crews that are on the ground that are actually performing the work. So the communication level is just amazing to see and how the functions kind of work through there. Also, the media has a room in there that they get to come in, and press conferences will happen and you guys can live broadcast from there. But, you know, we talk about preparing for the storm, the first 72 on you, but after the storm, we just don't know how long that's going to take. It depends on the category of storm that comes through. It depends on the strength, the winds, everything, you know, just how we see that. So we don't know how long it's going to take for cleanup, but what are some things people need to know for after the storm? Generators. We know that was a big thing we kept kind of speaking about after.
No, absolutely. So, you know, generators, make sure you have it safely attached, one, with your disconnect so it's not backfeeding on the power line for Gulf Power and make it dangerous for those guys, but also having it outside. And a lot of people think that they need to put their generator in their garage to keep it safe, somebody from stealing it, but now you're having carbon monoxide buildup. So outside, away. Cleaning up after the chainsaw mm-hmm. safety. We had injuries yes. with chainsaw. Mm-hmm. People on ladders who don't typically climb ladders yeah. or operate chainsaws. So if you don't typically operate those things, take extra care, and especially during a time where you know power is limited, so you might not have AC, so you're already hot and bothered, you're aggravated, and you're trying mm-hmm. to do cleanup, and you're not fully paying attention to what you're doing with a you know gas-powered saw. 10 feet above your head, 10 feet above on a ladder yes. on top of it, and trying to you know preserve what you've got left of your residence or your structure mm-hmm. if you've had a tree fall or something. So, you know those things. If you don't do those things day to day, take your time. You know if you can't do it, then we brought in crisis cleaning after mm-hmm. the event. We got a lot of good nonprofit volunteer organizations that came in and helped us do tree removal and clean up yards for those elderly or people who could not. Get out there and do it themselves. Mm-hmm. So we will, you know, when we have these events, we have those, you know, the Baptists come in, the Methodist groups come in, the Catholics, non-church
church
Catholic,
groups, we
church
see.
Groups,
yeah.
And we do have a VRC, a Volunteer Reception Center. So Hillcrest Baptist Church is for the county as our Volunteer Reception Center. So mm-hmm. all those organizations kind of funnel through there, and we put in the work requests through crisis cleanup for requests for yard cleanup, and then those guys kind of get out there and do that. So, you know, all the way to putting debris out by the road. Don't put it in the road. Don't put it by the road.
Right. And we're trying to clear the roads.
We're trying to clear the roads.
Right.
We're trying to get
them drivable,
the
passable.
Law enforcement, fire, and EMS mm-hmm. can access after the event. Because that's one of the priorities we do is try to open one lane at least right now so emergency services can start continuing again immediately after the storm is one of our priorities.
Mm-hmm. The other thing after a hurricane, and we preach it every year, and I know it's easier said than done, stay home. Don't go out and sightsee. The only thing you're doing is holding up Gulf Power. Mm-hmm. You're holding up resources that could be getting us moving in the right direction because law enforcement then has to move to traffic lights. If the traffic lights are down, mm-hmm. We're doing escorts. There is a lot of moving parts once recovery begins mm-hmm. that people don't see, and it's very time-consuming. And I get some calls, well, you know, points of distribution. Points of distribution are set here by the state.
Can you explain what that is? Because I think that's one of the biggest questions we got was
okay.
the point of distribution.
So Eric ahead of time gets mm-hmm. calls from the state, and they say, we're going to bring mm-hmm. points of distribution. They'll have food and water, mm-hmm. just depending on what the state wants to. Mm-hmm. Eric can try to push it to a right direction.
Right.
But the state, because there is laws, you can't be within so far of a grocery store right. and things like that. It makes it problematic for us. Because sometimes it's short notice, and we saw some lines on 9 Mile Road and mm-hmm. some other areas when you're dealing with traffic. Mm-hmm. Well, we understand we're trying mm-hmm. to get it done, but if the state gives us a 30-minute leeway, it takes a little bit to get resources
right.
there, or an hour or two,
mm-hmm.
and there's no pre-planning available for the county for traffic and things like that, so we have to
yeah.
work around those issues. So that's the biggest issue, and when we talk about Gulf Power is always, they're trying to get their people there. Well, if you have 30 cars mm-hmm. parked in front of your house, mm-hmm. it's hard to get that vehicle there.
Right.
So I know there's the want to go look around, see the devastation. It's just human curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could just give it a day or two,
yeah.
you would see how much quicker things could be fixed, because not everyone's mm-hmm. dealing with the traffic issues.
Right, and to echo on the pods,
yeah.
You know, each disaster is different, each hurricane. The level of intensity, the amount of damage, and what we see as far as the community is when pods are established. We may not see a pod in a Category 1 hurricane. We might not see one in a Cat 2 hurricane. It depends on how much power is out there, what grocery stores are available. Is product available is what we're looking at. So if product's available, pods won't come in. We might request tarps or something like that other than food and water. So each situation is different. Don't always expect a pod to be established during a hurricane. So.
Oh, that's great advice. I mean, that's why we say be prepared. We're at the state's mercy on, you know, what we kind of get, where it can go,
right.
and all of that.
And along with that, I know gas has always been a critical issue. Whenever
mm-hmm.
a storm comes through, you'll see the gas lines
mm-hmm.
just rampant. I want to point this out. One, it's always good to be stocked up well ahead mm-hmm. of time, especially when you think that there could be one coming this way. But also, whenever people are off on a frantic search for gas when there's no gas, they tend to waste gas doing
yes.
that. So going
yes.
back to your point of maybe it's best to just stay home and not clutter the roadways, well, you could be saving your gas by doing that.
And you guys do a great job of letting people know, you know, what gas stations have gas. And that's the other thing. If you're out on the road, what Commander Hobbs is talking about, you're in the way of those gas trucks being able to come in and, you know, resupply these gas stations that we have. So staying home, listening to your media partners, they're going to let you know, you're going to see the damage, they're out there collecting all the video, you're going to see it, and they're going to tell you what stores are open. There's like a list on all of their websites. They're saying it on all of their, you know, if we don't have power access to the internet, they're saying it on all the their shows, the radio. Really, radio is your truly number one way of getting information during those times. And you guys are do a great job putting that information out there.
Well, thank you.
We just have to remember to be patient, and it takes a community, and people are working hard. Our deputies are working around the clock. They don't even really get to be home with their families during the storm because they're staged places waiting to go out when it's safe. And the shifts that they work, can you kind of explain these rotating shifts?
So when a hurricane comes or a natural disaster, we do all hands on deck. So it's an A-B rotation, 12-hour shifts. So you have 7 at night till 7 in the morning, 7 in the morning till 7 at night, or 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. or 6 p.m., whichever way we go with it on that. And everyone's leaves off. Investigators are out. So some people, it's not beyond it to work 17 or 18 hours straight, right. 19 hours straight. When a hurricane comes, Eric and I and our group are going to stay at the EOC. It's not beyond us to work 3 or 4 days straight. Yeah. We'll get a 30-minute nap, an hour nap, and then keep going because we have resources and things we're having to get done. But the men and women of fire, EMS, and law enforcement, those deputies, you know, traffic lights, gas stations, points of distribution, and in most cases, they haven't even been to their house. They don't know how bad their homes are. You know, so there's always people always talk about, what do your deputies do for their homes? Well, they, in my case, my wife and my children left. They they went out of Pensacola because I didn't need to deal with that. I was lucky enough. John Dosh was newly retired while I was at the EOC. JD came over to my house and pulled trees off of my my campers, off my house during Sally. So once I was able to come home, at least I didn't have trees everywhere. So thank you to JD for that.
Right.
He said he had to do something.
Always saving the day. Yeah,
exactly. He was like, well, I feel like I'm not doing anything because you know, I'm newly retired. I figured I'd do something. I was like, I appreciate it. But you know, those are the things. The deputies, fire, EMS, everybody's going to work a lot of hours. So you know, we get some calls every so often about people being short with them, and they're, you know, I think we all need to understand, you know, I talk about this a lot. We're a great community. It's going to be tough. Hurricanes are tough. There's nothing fun about hurricanes. Mm-hmm. But we've been to a lot of communities for hurricanes, and nobody, just nobody, the community, nowhere else handles it as well as we do.
The communication isn't there.
I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, the way we back each other up, and the way we tie in with each other. As I said in the beginning, we're not siloed. I've been to deployments all over the state of Florida for Irma, Matthew, and everything, and I keep coming back home to Escambia going, wow, we really got something special here. The way we communicate daily like this. If you don't have this daily, this communication, like I'm sitting here with the table with Commander Hobbs and the Sheriff's Office, it's not going to work during a disaster. So we communicate daily to begin with, all our partners across the board. So,
you know, I actually have a question in regards to the EOC, and I've had the opportunity to attend the media days there where you explain everything. We sit in the room, not just the media room, but inside there. Are we going to be doing those kinds of meetings again soon?
Yes, we are. We're going to start opening back up now that we've restricted some of the COVID restrictions. So we're going to get those things engaged again and start doing that. We're going to have tabletops going to be a little later this month. Some people are still in COVID protocol, so we'll let them do it virtually. But those who want to show up and attend face-to-face, we'll do a walkthrough and everything and make sure that everybody's up to speed. I feel like they are because during COVID, we stayed at level 2 activation the entire time.
Mm. Yes.
And then, of course, Sally hit, and then we was all in the room together with Sally.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but COVID kind of took a pause during Sally because that was more imminent for us during that time. I'm gracious for all the partners who came and represented in the room because without them face-to-face in the room, it's hard to trying to do a disaster virtually. Oh, my gosh. It's just –
I couldn't imagine.
Some people don't have power. There is no virtual.
Exactly. Right. That's right. So.
Well, and we're also, again, when we talk about we're good at this, we also have the Blue Angel Air Show.
Practice.
Practice, things like that that we work with. When you have large events with large people, you have to use incident command. And from the smallest to the largest event, as long as you use those goals and those outlines, it usually turns out pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So when we're talking about just the hurricanes and being prepared, we know everybody's kind of on edge right now. But one of the things I think we haven't mentioned and we should is check on your neighbors, something that you kind of mentioned with JD coming to check on you. Check on your neighbors because a lot of us have elderly neighbors or just, you know, neighbors that may need some extra help and make sure that they're boarded up. Maybe they need help, you know, boarding up their windows before the storm, or maybe they need help picking up prescriptions or anything like that before the storm. And definitely after the storm, check on them, make sure everybody's okay in your area. So Commander Quinata always says that when I have him on here, the best thing you can always do is know your neighbor for no matter what situation. So get to know them and just check on them, make sure everybody's good.
Be a good neighbor.
Yeah.
If you're a good neighbor, everything else kind of works out. I'm blessed where I live. I have amazing neighbors.
Same.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. When we talk about any law enforcement function or law enforcement issue, if you have good neighbors, usually your issues are very little.
Yeah,
because you're a group. You're a one. And yeah, I agree with Amber on that one. The knowing your neighbors, working together. I mean, you can utilize it as an excuse to have a block party if you want. I mean, there's no power. There's nothing. But you got grills and you have food. Get out there.
Hey, our neighborhood definitely did that. There were people, you know, we're going to lose all the meat in our fridge if we don't, you know, go ahead and cook it up. So people were doing the neighborhood grilling and inviting people over. And our neighbor, her and her husband really saved us. He was working out of town during the time. So he was able to stop on his way back in town and grab us some generators and gas. Like, yes, wow. Heroes. So we were able to hook that up and have it. So if you know your neighbors, you can give a helping hand. I know the neighbors we had next door needed some help after, and my husband was over there helping them get trees down and everything like that. So it's just the nice thing to do. Just be a good person. Be a nice person. I know we're all hot and irritated, but we do need to look out for each other. And that's what makes Escambia County so great when it comes to these disasters.
Yeah, you know, you hit a good point there about being the good neighbors. That often during these times, you often will see either the best in humanity or we'll see, unfortunately, the worst in humanity.
And that brings me to something we always get asked about. Are we going on curfew? And people get upset when we do go on curfew, but that's for safety and to protect people's properties. You can probably explain a little more about the reasoning behind that, Commander.
Yeah, multiple reasons. First, if there's no power, you don't want people just walking around. Yeah. You start end up having neighbor issues when we're talking about good neighbors. But if you have people coming in that don't live there, the truth of the matter is bad people are going to do bad things in bad times. Mm-hmm. Looting, that's always an issue when it comes to hurricanes, no matter where we're at. That allows law enforcement a bit more of authority to stop people, ask them where they're going, what they're doing. Now, if you're working in a Walmart, you're working a business, law enforcement's not going to bother you.
No.
But if you're cruising through a neighborhood that's all pitch dark and it's 10 o'clock at night, there's a good chance you're going to get pulled over by a deputy and asked where you're going, what you're doing. That also allows less traffic on the road so the work crews can get more stuff done. Gulf Power,
they work all night long.
Yeah, when people are asleep and those generators are humming and we're all just sweating to death in our houses, Gulf Power is out there working at night because it's easier for them. They don't have to worry about getting, I mean, when we were in Bay County, a couple of those crews got hit by cars, things like that. It is a struggle for them in some areas, depending on where they're trying to do. So, people do get kind of ramped up about the curfews, but the curfews are for all the overall protection of everyone involved. People's properties, people, the workers, everything. It just makes it easier. But again, you're not going to get pulled over and harassed just because you're driving. But if you're in neighborhoods driving around and not doing what you're supposed to be doing, it allows law enforcement to pull you over, and you can be arrested for that during that time. So it just gives law enforcement a bit more teeth during a disaster to protect people and property. In a lot of cases, it's necessary during a hurricane. If there's no power, there's no reason to be out there at night.
Exactly. You can't see. You can't see the damage. I mean, you're going to get hurt. You don't know what's falling over, what you're stepping through, nails and everything else.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And that's another question we get. During areas we block off, normally that's Gulf Power or ESP, the natural gas company. If there's lines or pipes exposed, we're not letting people in those neighborhoods. People that aren't already in there, because you don't need that extra population in there that can cause issues and get injured. As soon as those are safe, we move out of the way. Our biggest goal, that's a big push the EOC and the Sheriff's Office has done in recent times on the beaches and everything else, is to get people back in their homes as quick as they can. No one can secure a house like the homeowner can. And it lessens the workload on our deputies and the firefighters and EMS if homeowners are back in their homes. So as quick as we can get them in there, we're getting them in there. Yeah.
Well, guys, we have less than 40 seconds now. Anything else we want to get out there real quick?
Yeah, we just want everybody to please follow our Facebook page. We'll be putting updates, you know, out for that. If there is a storm coming our way, just follow along with us. We'll be doing live hits and everything else and keeping you the most up to date. Just be safe out there. Be prepared.
Well, Amber, Eric, Commander Hobbs, we appreciate the time today here with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and Escambia County Emergency Management, getting us ready for hurricane season. We have to be ready.
Yes.
Absolutely do.
Again, there's no storms out there. We're getting those questions on Facebook.
Ooh.
Oh, is there?
Knock on wood.
Oh.
In the meantime,
I almost made it a whole show. Here we go.
Up.